This is a Pinball News production.
Well, thanks for coming, everybody. I try to find a seat somewhere. Maybe some available. Just squeeze in wherever you can. Rob wanted me to talk about Kiss art then and now. And I think the main difference between then and now is then I was young. Jim's ahead of me here. And now I'm old. I was assigned the first Kiss by Paul Ferris, and I was fairly new to Bally at the time. I'd been there maybe a year and a half and done Strikes and Spares and Star Trek. I think this would probably be the third game I had done at Bally. I was 25 years old, so actually Kiss skewed a little bit young for me. It was more for teenage. At the time I was 25, I'd say teenagers listened to Kiss a little bit more than I would had done. So, but I was given tickets to go see them in concert, and I realized what the buzz was all about at that time. Nowadays, Greg Ferris heads up Stern's art department, and he's the one who came up with this assignment for me, and I took it on, happily took it on. But there were no tickets involved that time. The designer of the original was Jim Patla, and he... at that time, we had moderate input as to what the rules would be and where the lights would go. Not a lot of input on art-wise. I believe the original design that we worked from was a card game theme. And as he stated in an interview, it was called Light Align, was the original theme of the playfield. Now, John Borg was the designer. He's the lead designer, but there was much more of a committee this time of programmers, marketing people, and so forth. As for reference, the only reference I had in the original game then was the Kiss Alive 2, which was like a fold-out album. And also, if Martin would move to the next one, we had these four solo album covers. And that's all we had for reference back then. There was no style guide. Now, there's a full-blown style guide with a variety of design elements, like prefab, I guess you call them design elements, but there was no physical poses really to use for the as a guide per se.
So which method do you prefer, having the style guide or working without that information?
Well, it worked. It worked in both cases, but their current style guide really doesn't give you any kind of a real feel for the flair of their show or anything. So, actually, the original Kiss Alive album fold out cover, whatever you want to call it, that says a lot more than anything in their style guide.
Okay.
Then the concept was presented as a physical magic marker sketch. It was full size. You've seen the picture of Tom Neiman and Paul Ferris holding up the original sketch, which was all done in magic markers, presented to the band for their approval at a before concert in at Magic Mountain, I believe it is, okay. was in California. Now everything, all the sketches that we do are, of course, digital, done on a Wacom tablet. But they're all done by hand still.
Has the approval process changed?
The approval process is for the first Kiss and this Kiss, Pinball Machine, really comes down to Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley still. They're the final word still, just like back in the day. Tom Neiman handled the first licensing approval negotiations, and Jody Dankberg from Stern has. Can we give Gary Stern a big hand for 30 years? How about that, guys? All right. Adam West, 88 years old, ladies and gentlemen.
Amazing. So you're talking about the licensing process, and can you say with the first Kiss and the more recent one, what changes you had to make in order to get approval?
I would say it's about even, just minor tweaks. They basically approved pretty quickly. There's a quick the turnaround for the approval was quick, and there's not that many changes actually.
I just wondered, for example, if Gene Simmons wanted you to make his tongue longer or shorter or anything like that.
I think the main difference is that we were going to stay away from any sort of love gun, sexual, That was probably the main thing that we did, that we were asked to do.
So in terms of your work on the project, when did you get involved?
I got involved a little bit too late, as usual.
So how long did you have from the being given the project to having to complete it?
Well, I had a lot more lead time on the original, probably 6 months, as opposed to more like 3 months. I was brought in probably about 3 months before the project needed to be completed on the
Is that fairly typical in your experience for artwork on a pinball machine?
These days, yes. Back then, we would get it between 6 and 9 months, I would say.
Right.
To complete a game.
So given that typically it probably took about 9 months to develop the Kiss game, being a John Ball game, he probably had less time because he's pretty quick. Why doesn't the artist, or let's talk about this case, in this case, why don't you get involved from day one? Why doesn't that happen?
I think they need to negotiate these contracts before they can take on... Even really get to know that the theme is that this is what the theme for this game is going to be.
Okay. And how do you feel about the two projects? Do you have a favorite? It's kind of like asking which is your favorite child, I suspect. But when you look back at the two pieces, two finished pieces for each game.
Well, I was commissioned to do this to actually sort of, how can I say this, reimagine,
think is the current terminology.
Yeah, but have a similar feel. So I guess the original is the original, and it always will be. So.
And where is the original now?
It's in a crate, and I still have possession of it.
Has anyone ever tried to buy it from you? We could have an auction now.
Well, I've had several negotiations with Gene Simmons, but he sees the value differently than I do.
Okay. So is there anything else you'd like to say about the KISS project?
Well, I have some development artwork that I can show you here.
Let's have a look through that.
Yeah, this is probably the first sketch I did presented to just show the direction I was going to go and what, you know, so this is a hand-drawn, you know, I was directed to do this as a hand-drawn piece. So this would be the first stage that I showed Greg, and next was, we'll move forward here, and let's see what we got. These are some more sketches, like rough sketches for character sketches, and these are, it was indicated to me that these don't represent Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, or anyone with any name. They're the demon, the star child, the cat. So they're character names. My first sketch had Gene. This was kind of like my favorite outfit that he had, so that, you know, this is the way I was going to portray him on the new back glass. Let's move forward, Martin.
So at this stage, have you actually seen a playfield layout?
No, I hadn't.
Okay.
Yeah. Now here's a full color mock-up that we presented them to get them to sign off on the style that we were going to use. And as you can see, this is a sketch of the costume that was not used on the back glass. Forward, let's see what we got here.
Is that artwork for sale?
Pardon me?
Is that artwork for sale?
That artwork is digital.
No physical pieces exist.
That's correct, Gary. Okay, here's a first pass at backglass art, and as you can see, I was just toying with having vignetted larger faces in the background. As it evolved, we went back to what would appear on the original, more of a skyrocket, fireworks type of background.
So you move around the figures?
Yes.
Move them around?
Yeah, I move them around, try to balance them, make sure they appear to be working together, but it's a very cramped space as displays on the bottom get bigger and the back glass gets smaller, it gets more cramped. So it's tricky to try to get a good balance going on your design, but
when you did the original KISS, it's well known that you had to change the logo because of the kind of SS insignia. Was any mention of that on this occasion?
I believe they were going to make a German version.
Really?
Yeah.
We saw it 2 hours ago. The German distributor was here and showed it.
Oh, okay.
So there was.
And
there is a German translight.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was taken care of by Stern's art department, so I didn't really get involved in the different
So does versions. That mean that now we're talking with a digital process, you can hand over your file and they can go into it and change things without you?
Yes, they can.
So how do you feel about giving up that kind
of
control?
Well, I trust Greg. I've been working with him for so long that... I have no problem with that at all. No. Here's the original sketch for the cabinet, which we're starting to develop what would mimic the original, not get too far away, but just, you know, maybe a few more touches of, you know, lightning or design or flames. But basically the same poses, which actually appeared in the style guide, their current style guide as on their solo albums. This is a character style cabinet use submission. I would think that Greg probably did submit this to get some feedback. And I'm not sure that this color scheme ever was produced, but I like it.
That color scheme is close to the original
yes.
game. So your color palette that you finished up using on the second generation game, was that given to you, or did that just kind of evolve?
Well, Stern will take my files and they'll color. The color treatment is up to them
okay.
in the final. Obviously, the four color process allowed me to go in and paint. The original, of course, was done stencil style, and I did create a model for the people who cut the stencils on that. So
now, the top photo in black and white that says first look pencil sketch, is it actually a pencil sketch, or is that just the terminology carrying over from
It's a terminology, but I do sketch on a Wacom tablet with a stylus.
Okay.
So it's all hand-drawn.
I was just wondering if there is actually a pencil sketch somewhere on paper that is an original.
Not anymore, Gary.
Not anymore. Oh, sad.
Okay, this is probably the first pass and that I submitted. And I would say the characters above the light array were changed quite a bit, and I'm just starting to Photoshop in where I might put guitars. And as you
was
can see,
clear for you from the original, from the beginning, that you would like to take the original bumper caps. Was this your idea from the early beginning?
I don't think there was any question that we were going to mimic the original bumper caps. We always had planned to do that.
So were you told we want something completely original, or were you told, given some direction to say, go revisit and reimagine? I think you've answered that question, actually. I think you said
yes.
earlier it was a reimagination.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's why I was brought on to the project. Actually.
Right.
So I think we have other playfield iterations here. This would be, I would say this was done by George Gomez. He's pretty handy with the sketch pad himself. So at this point, you know, they're asking for, I guess, more of an action pose rather than a portraiture. And also he's indicating at this point that we're going to really play up the KISS
large
insert. He's indicating that they want drums in between the pop bumpers, and that each one of the lights, the string of lights on the right orbit, would be bumper caps, I think. Four round inserts, big inserts came.
Do you actually have a playfield next to you when you're doing this?
I
or
do
you
not.
Work, you're working off a screen?
That's correct.
Okay.
So this would be the result of George's sketches, talking to John Borg. This is getting near the end of the development stage, where I would go in and actually what we would, terminology we would use would be ink, which back on the original I actually did use pen and ink. Now, of course, we ink digitally. Okay, let's move on and see what we have here. And finally, this is a sketch that's actually never been shown before today, so the people in this room are seeing this for the first time. And it was just, I wish we, my plan was that there would be a star child girl and the other back box would be a demon girl. But it never got to that stage. KISS has actually changed their I guess, image that they want to portray as far as, you know, love gun girls. And
so are we seeing something that Gene Simmons hasn't seen?
Yes, I don't believe they ever showed this. It didn't get past Gary.
Okay.
Gary Stern, that is. I think that's it. If anybody has any questions?
It looks like David has.
The guitars, were those out of the style guide?
They're not in the style guide, but we were given guitars images that to work from.
Okay. Any feedback from Gene and Gene Simmons of that you're going to do the art again? Were they like excited that the same guy that did the first one is going to be second?
I was told that it was a positive selling point for them, yes.
Can I ask a question about the integration of the rules set into the artwork? Because that's something that kind of evolves, and it must mean, you know, how does that work? Do you lay down some art and then they change it to fit in the rules? Or do they tell you we need, you know, we're going to have a Star Child shot up here, so come up with a Star Child character?
It's an area that you need to be flexible all the way to the very last day that you work on a project like this. Rules can change right up to the very end. Is that what you're getting at, Gary?
Well, just that there needs to be a dialogue, I imagine, between the artist and
the guy coming up
with the rules.
It's very, very fluid, and you've got to be flexible.
And similarly, with the models, like the Gene Simmons head, which I think Dave Link did. Do you talk to Dave about how that's going to work?
Mostly these days, with any toy that's going to be on the play field, you'll see probably a 3D model, or
right.
I'll see a sculpture in progress.
Okay, so you know what's coming, and you work with that.
Okay. Any more questions? Martin?
Did you play the whiteboard at the time when you did the drawing?
No.
No?
No. If I would come into Stern for an update or, you know, just to, you know, further develop the artwork, I would see a whitewood, but it would never be playable. And that's typical.
So you work for Stern as a consultant, so you don't have an office in the factory?
That's correct.
So where do you do your work? At home, presumably?
Yes, in my studio.
That's still in the back of the house?
Mm-hmm.
You still have all those toys there?
I do.
Can you give us an insight into, describe your studio to us, please?
There's too much junk everywhere.
Maybe it's not junk. It's
some of it is, and you know, I went through a phase where I was going to collect every toy that I ever wanted, and so on. Rob knows the story, and he's seen it, but. Some of it is worth, it's only worth money to people who want to pay for it.
Of course. David.
Following up on the question about the sculpture, do you have the final say about the colors that are painted onto the sculpture if you're doing the art for the game? Or?
No, I have very little input to that.
Now, the Gene Simmons head is easy because it seems to be just black and white and red for the tongue, but I could picture in some cases you might have some concerns about that the colors used on the sculpture went well with the colors on the playfield. So is that up to Greg to sort of sort that all out?
I think the final word on that is going to be George Gomez, and he's pretty hands-on with that kind of thing. And I have what I would say my own fish to fry until that point.
So I guess it's like the whole thing of putting the game together is a bit of a jigsaw puzzle, and you provide the flat art, I guess, if I can call it that, and you've got Dave Link working on the models, and then the art department and George together work to make sure that it's all the right colour coloration.
I think a jigsaw puzzle is a great way to put it. And actually, my fiance Jackie, when she sees me working on the buter, it's the plastic parts, which are all nested on a sheet. She calls it my jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the plastics.
Yeah.
Jackie was a model.
Martin.
What have are you working on? So do you have a drawing template and how are you drawing with the PC?
It's a tablet with a stylus, and it's on a sort of a flexible stand that I can move around, you know, to my shoulder starts hurting. Whatever.
Before we close, can I ask you to tell us a bit about the last project you worked on?
Well, once again, we got in a bit of a time crunch on that. For the Batman 66, I did some backglass art quickly, like concepts, and I did cabinet art concepts also that got the ball rolling, got a dialogue going, got everyone's wheels turning. How does this look? Is this what we want to do? But I was quickly sort of shoved off to move on to the play field because time was ticking away. And meanwhile, they had become sort of enamored with this Christopher Franchi's artwork, which is beautiful, and he's a sort of an official Batman artist.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
He's got a relationship with the Batman.
So it was determined at the time, as the clock ticked away, that if they could get a relationship going with Christopher Franchi and sort of... I don't want to say cobble his artwork together, but he had a lot of what you see on the Batman 66 was pre-existing Christopher Franchi artwork.
Okay.
So it was placed in such a way that it would work for a pinball machine. And that not only saved them art development time, but it saved them approval time also.
Right.
So this was moved quickly. But what you see on the play field for Batman 66 stayed mostly my artwork, and a lot of plastics and the back panel, what they call the blades along the side of the play field.
I haven't looked closely. I think there's three different models out on the floor. And are they different artwork from you for each play field, or is the artwork consistent?
I think the play field stays the same.
Questions before we bring it to a close.
This canvas figure piece is now a lot of work years.
So, in terms of your whole catalog,
as far as art, I think two of my favorites, rather than just say one, that came together as packages, I think, was Silver Ball Mania. And thank you. It's just they let me actually really do whatever I wanted to do, and very little changed. And also Flash Gordon, I thought that remained a package that was just put together in a very cohesive way, and very very few changes on it.
So that's one licensed game and one unlicensed game. Any comments about working with a license or working on an original game? Because I guess recent history, it's all been licenses.
Yeah, I don't really think I have very much experience with non-licensed games these days.
Okay.
Yes, but old days, Silver Ball,
yeah.
You did an awesome, magnificent job on that game. So that was
thank you.
Full creativity, I would say.
Okay. Plus, you were selling pinball, glorifying pinball.
Okay. I have here to me as a treat. For some reason, as he gets older, it's harder to reel him in. And he is such a creative genius in what he's done for the hobby. For those of you that follow his artwork, just to have him here is really a treat. And because he redid the Kiss theme, I was able to talk him into speaking again this year. But
I think it's testimony to how much Rob thinks of your work and how badly he wanted you here, because he's not been at every seminar thanking the speaker. So this is exceptional. So can I ask everybody to put your hands together? A round of applause.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming.